Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good morning from San Diego, and I'm so glad that many of you have called in. We have a wonderful show today, and the title of it is Five Generations Side by Side. And our guest is Sherry Nacine. She's the founder and CEO of Center for the Executive Excellence, Inc. And she is the author of Work on Purpose, How to Connect Who You Are with What You Do. And I'm anxious to hear this. Her team helps leaders achieve excellence by connecting people, purpose, and performance. Sherry, welcome to Women Lead Radio.
Thank you, Cecile. I greatly appreciate the invitation to be part of this important issue this morning.
Well, you've got some great issues, and I know it has to do with the generations, and I know about the generations also. And one of the things with Sherry, she does a lot of speaking throughout the country. And I'm going to ask her at some point about this book, the author of this book. But let's go into the first question. And there's a lot of buzz these days about the different generations in the workplace, and not all of it is positive, which I found that interesting. Why is it important to know about the generational differences? Because we're all part of generations.
That's right. That's right. Great question. Well, in our work as leadership and culture alignment consultants, this field, the topic of how to manage multiple generations comes up really often. Just last week, I was speaking to the director of learning and development for a major bank in California, and we were talking about different opportunities that we had to work with them. And as soon as I said something about multiple generations, she was so excited to hear what we had to say about that. Not only about how to manage the multiple generations, but more specifically, how to encourage those generations to work together. And I think the reason that we want to distinctly understand the different cohorts is not to label, to put pin labels on generations. Nobody wants to be labeled. Nobody wants to be put into a box. But what we do need to understand about the different generations is that what we call the cohort effect. And every generation is a byproduct, if you will, of the unique historical circumstances that happened to that group, particularly during the time when they were in the process of forming their opinions. Things like historical moments or economic booms or busts or technological breakthroughs or broader social issues, those have such an important impact on how it is that we deal with each other and how we deal with each other in the workplace specifically, that we keep that. For example, if you think about the silent generation that were part of the Great Depression and how they were concerned about things going away and that tomorrow is not a given. And so they're a much more conservative generation, and they keep that conservative attitude throughout their history. And so that happened to them perhaps when they were a youth, but now that they are in their 70s and plus, they're still conservative. So that's what we want to look at, is not how to label them, but what happened to them. What were those key unique historical circumstances that were true about them in their young adulthood that is going to be part of how they look at work and expect to work with each other in social issues?
And are we, speaking on that area, are we coming together as the various generations are out there? Are we coming together in a way that we can understand each other?
I wish I could say yes. I wish I could say yes.
I knew you would.
It's a great, it's a great question. There's no question that whether you're in the workplace or whether you read the Harvard Business Review or whether you are on social media or whether you watch television or wherever you're getting your information from, we're becoming more divisive. And that's why this topic that I'm so happy to hear that you're impassioned about, Cecile, diversity is really, really important. We've got to stop labeling each other and boxing each other and start to come together.
And, you know, I'm at the higher end of diversity and that generation. And I don't know how I got to be this old, but I am. And at the same time, you know, I like to listen to those who are younger and look at ways that we can come together, whatever that takes. And so often we and people in the workplace who deal with the various generations, many times I find in listening to people that they talk about the younger generation, and often, Sherry, they're kind of putting them down, that it doesn't work well. I don't know if you hear that or not.
Oh, absolutely. There was a long time when we realized that the millennial generation specifically really came of age during a time of a huge technological advance.
Yes.
And they started taking advantage of that long before we did, long before they started entering the workforce. And the other important part about millennials is that they're a very large cohort. They're a larger cohort, in fact, than the baby boomers. And because of that, we're all, you know, taking selfies and learning hashtags and trying to, you know, we all have Facebook pages. And not because that natural order did not happen from the top down or from the older generation to the new generation. It happened because of the millennial, the strength and the size of the millennial cohort. So it's really important to appreciate each other's differences, and that's why this talk, Five Generations Side by Side, is so important. It's about looking not about how we're different, but how we're all the same.
Yes, and how we can come together and
Absolutely.
Make it very positive.
Absolutely.
Can you describe each generation and tell us more about what has shaped them?
Yeah, very briefly, we start with what we call the silent generation. The silent generation right now is, we think of people in age 70 and above who are still in the workforce. If you think about what happened to them, if people who were born between 1928 and 1945, well, obviously, World War II was a huge, historical event that happened to them. The Great Depression is something that this generation was shaped by. And this word silent, pinned to this generation, comes from the fact that you still hear about people, gentlemen who served in the war, who came back and never talked about their service. They served silently because of their national pride and their civic mindedness. So if you think about the characteristics that this generation brings to the workforce, you think of someone whose slogan is maybe an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. They have a great deal of civic pride. They are conformists. They are very loyal. They're very dependable, and they're very, nationalistic in their values. And America and the country is very important, and they take that sense of loyalty and pride and values into the workplace. And then we move on from there to the baby boomers. So the baby boomers are age about 50, early 50s to 70 years old right now. They currently, if you think about them right now, they're about 31% of the workforce, and that will drop in by the year 2020 to about 22% of the workforce. What happened to baby boomers in terms of their definition? Well, we reached the moon. President Kennedy, defied a generation ago in 1961 by the end of the decade to put a man on the moon and return him safely back to Earth by the end of the decade. And to talk about purpose-driven and a cause that this generation actually saw. But they also had defining moments in terms of these were the first, not the first, but a major generation to be defined by movement, to be defined by civil rights. They were shaped by the assassinations of some of their, most inspiring leaders. Jack Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr. were shot and assassinated when many of these baby boomers were coming of age. So they don't have quite the same loyalistic, mentality that the silent generation. They're very achievement-driven. They're very passionate about participating. They're very ambitious. They're very relationship-driven. And their work attitude, or their slogan, if you will, is, I live to work. And, you can see baby boomers, they define themselves by the work that they
do.
So the conversation is, not who are you, but, what do you do? That's the first thing we ask.
Yes.
What do you do, right? Or what is your husband?
Right.
Then we move on to Gen X. So Gen Xers are a smaller cohort. They're sandwiched between baby boomers and the millennial population. Right now they're about in their mid-30s to 50 years old. Baby boomers are things that shaped them was what I think of them as the latchkey kids. Both of their parents worked, and these were the kids that you may remember, I do, of having a piece of yarn around their neck and their house key. And they were independent. They came home by themselves. They let themselves in the door. They took care of themselves until mom or dad got home from work. And so how did they entertain themselves? MTV became popular during Gen X. The first computer games and the very first computer system came about when Gen X. But also the AIDS generation. AIDS impacted this generation quite significantly. And so if you think about this, they have a healthy skepticism at work. They appreciate flexibility. They're very self-reliant, and they're the first of the tech-savvy generation of our workforce.
Yes.
And if you think of their work attitude, their slogan is more like, I work to live. Like, work is not, I'm not completely defined by my job. I still want to have a life. And they're the first generation who really asked us to think about work-life balance. Right?
Wow.
Then we move on to Gen Y, or the millennials. Millennials are get a lot of press these days. Personally, I think it's a lot of it is negative press. But if you think about what shaped them, unfortunately, big negative events in terms of 9/11, the Columbine shootings. This was really scary for this generation to think of the place that they think of the safest place that they can possibly be with their teachers and their friends each day, that this savagery can happen in any place. And they started becoming a little more concerned about their personal safety. And certainly 9/11 shook this generation in terms of national safety. But because of where we were in terms of technology, this generation was able to share its concerns with each other on social media. And they weren't just shaped by what was being spoken in their classrooms or around their dinner tables, but also global voices. They were really able to connect with other people around the world of their generation and learn more, share more, faster. And also American Idol is something that shaped this generation. And the reason I bring American Idol up is because anyone, with an amount of talent, you didn't have to work your way through a system and work for decades and what used to be called working your way up from the mailroom, for decades and finally slowly having a voice at the table. With American Idol, you could step on stage, and if you had done the work, if you had the talent, you could have a voice right away. And I think that really was another part of something that shaped them and gave them the distinguishing characteristics of being hopeful, being optimistic. They're tech-savvy multitaskers. They truly embrace diversity, which is the topic of this conversation.
Sure.
And they expect flexibility. They don't just want flexibility, they expect flexibility. So it's something to be mindful of when we think of of millennials. And their work attitude, or a slogan, if you will, is, you know, work is not just about a paycheck. This is a generation that doesn't just think about work-life balance, but thinking about how to integrate who they are with what they do.
I agree. And I think they also want to be a part of the environment, you know, whether it's where they're working. I mean, they want to be a part of our world.
Absolutely. And they are a part of a huge part. As a matter of fact, 50% of the American workforce will be made up of millennials by the year 2020. And they believe that businesses can have a positive social impact on the world. And they're optimistic about playing a role in that change.
They absolutely do. And they'll let you know that, too.
And they should. They're old enough to have their voices heard. And I just want to real quickly just mention that Gen Z is the fifth generation. Gen Z are just entering the workforce at about age 20 right now. So they're very social and connected. They're digital natives. They are highly attached to technology, and they demand flexibility. But one thing to keep in mind about Gen Z is that they learned from the millennial, their millennial older brothers and sisters, about don't put everything you're doing 24/7 out on social media, because those things have a tendency to follow you around. So they're the generation of Snapchat. You know, I'm going to send an instant message to my best friend that's going away immediately, and they're the hashtag generation. So it's important to be aware that Gen Z is beginning to join that workforce, and they'll be 7% of the workforce by the year 2020.
Yes, and they're more than willing to tell you what they want, what they do, et cetera.
That's right.
I think that's great. What I want to do, because I don't want to forget, is I want, if you would, is to let those who that are here listening know how they might contact you, whether it's by phone or email. Would you share this information with them right now?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's my email address. My direct email address is S as in Sherry, N-A-S-I-M, Nassim, at executiveexcellence.com. You certainly can find us on our website at executiveexcellence.com, or you can call me directly at 760-521-6382.
Fantastic. That'll be great, because you've got so much information, and I know you're doing a lot of things. I understand also, I want to mention about this, that there is a conference coming up in April in which you'll be participating. Can you share with our listeners who might be able to attend?
Absolutely. We call it the Reimagine Leadership Summit. This is an annual summit that we are having on April 27th. Of this year in Escondido at a place called The Center. It's a beautiful location in Escondido. It's a full-day conference. It's for executives, leaders of all levels, and including emerging leaders and senior CEOs, who we've had attend last year. We have an amazing guest panel of speakers who will be joining us this year, including the global talent leader of WD-40, Also, a CEO, Damian McKinney of McKinney Advisory Group, Dean Carter, who is Vice President of HR and Shared Services of Patagonia, and also Joe Musselman, who is a founder and CEO of something called the Honor Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization designed to help Navy SEALs transition out of service and back into the corporate world. The program has been approved for 7.25 HRCI credits, so for human resources professionals who are interested in getting continuing education credits, it's a great opportunity for them to come and learn. We will be talking about five generations side by side. We'll also be talking about what we call Ditch the Pyramid, Reimagining Leadership for the 21st Century. It's a very fun, hands-on event, and you can learn more about that on our website.
Good. You do have it on your website. So, you know, when we look at employees and managers and all that, what are three to four things that managers can do to engage a multi-generational workforce?
That's a great question, because in addition to having to be concerned about the different attitudes and aptitudes of the five generations, we have to move much faster today than we ever have before. And that that speed of change is not expected to slow down. And so there are there's a lot of talk and a lot of research and a lot of initiatives happening right now where organizations are trying to slice up their workforce and provide things that appeal to just certain generations. But what we have found in our research and study and application, Cecile, is that things are moving too fast. You simply can't have five flavors of everything that you do. You don't have time for that. And what that does is continue to silo organizations and continue that labeling. So what we recommend that you do is think of, if you take a sheet of paper and you draw a line down the center and another line across that, so you have four distinct quadrants. And in the upper left quadrant, if you just think of the word why. So why is the opportunity for the very basis for employee engagement at all levels. Every employee, no matter who they are or how old they are, they want to have a purpose. If you think, even this is something that would bring together the silent generation and the millennials. The silent generation worked together to, fight World War II and fight a common enemy and think about how that impacted America, because that entire generation was so motivated by a single purpose. The baby boomers were motivated by that opportunity, that the challenge that President Kennedy laid out to put a man on the moon, and the entire country rallied around that. 500,000 people worked together to put a man on the moon, and we planted an American flag on the moon as a result. The millennials are so driven, by the opportunity to make an impact. 73% of millennials believe that businesses can have a positive social impact on the world, and they want to play a role in that change. So why? What is the purpose that grounds everyone in your organization? Is it a common set of core values? Do you have an inspiring mission and vision statement? Why is the world better off because your organization is there? That's something that's very, very important, and it speaks to every human. We all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. So get clear about your why and make sure that grounds everything that you do in the organization. And that's how you recruit and bring more people who are inspired by your why. And then if you think about the next quadrant in the upper right, if you think of the word alignment. So you bring people in and they're inspired about what it is that we could do collectively, but now you need to break it down for them. You need to be very clear about what the big goals of the organization are and how each person can play a part in those goals, irrespective of their age. You may have goals to improve your social media presence, and the oldest person in the room and the most tenured person in the room might not be the right person for that job. So what are your big goals? Who's right to be able to bring that goal to fruition, and help them understand how their day-to-day work impacts that goal. I want to tell you a very short story about, I have President Kennedy on the brain apparently this morning, but
it's okay.
Think about, he laid out that the challenge to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade in a speech in 1961, and in 1962 he was visiting NASA Space Center in Florida. And he was on a tour, and he stopped the tour when he saw a janitor pushing a broom, and he walked over and said, "Hi, I'm Jack Kennedy. What is it? Is it that you do here?" And the janitor looked at him and said, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon, Mr. President." That's alignment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what your role is.
It doesn't matter what your age is.
Isn't that great? So make sure that everyone in your
organization
understands the alignment.
Yeah.
And then in the lower left part of the quadrant, think about strengths. Strengths is something that each one of us are uniquely born with, their gifts and talents, that not only are we hardwired into who we are, but when we are able to tap into our strengths at work, we are able to flow in our job. I'm sure you've been there when you've been working on a project and it's something that you're uniquely hardwired to do, and time absolutely slips away.
Yep.
You have no idea. You wake up, 3 hours later and say, "What?" And you might even be exhausted, but you're also exhilarated by the fact that you were able to work into your strengths. And when we think about the multiple generations working together, at first, if someone has a strength that's very different from yours, and we all do, there are 34, Gallup has identified 30 unique strengths. Someone with a strength that's very different from yours might actually annoy you at first. You might be an achiever who's very list-driven, and you like to write down all of your tasks for the day. And every time you write a check mark, you get a little dopamine rush, right? That's me. And then
right.
You might have somebody that you're working for, and we've all been there, the person with a cup of coffee in their hand who just seems to, seems to walk from, office to office, and they come in, and you're like, no, I'm not going to have to talk to somebody. And, they just kind of park it for 20 minutes. And at first they really annoy you because you don't get to work in your strengths. But if you start to understand what their strengths are, and we start to appreciate what other people can do, and we acknowledge that, okay, we're not all the same, but this person has a unique strength that I don't have. I like to pick on people who have the strength of woo, W-O-O. They're the networkers, and I'm not a natural networker, so it's important for me.
I am.
Oh, well, you and I need to get together because...
We do. And I hate to interrupt you, but we're coming to the end of our time.
Oh, absolutely.
And one of the things to the listeners I want to make sure before we say goodbye is that we'll be back every Monday at 9 a.m., and Fridays at 2 p.m., and so we want to make sure. And for those of you who have called in and listened, if you would like to speak to Sherry, because as you can tell, she's got a lot of information, and yes, Sherry, you and I are going to get together very soon.
But contact her, because she is wonderful at what she does, and it helps to raise us up higher when we listen to things that she talks about. So, Sherry, thank you so much for being here, and we'll get together soon.
Terrific. Well, thank you again so much for the opportunity. It's been my honor.
Of course. And thank you for those of you who called in, and don't forget Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. We're on the air again. Goodbye now, and have a wonderfully blessed week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.